Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 124, part 1. My name is John. All for freedom and for pleasure. Nothing ever lasts forever. Federal, state, and local governments are relaxing restrictions on businesses that have had to scale back or close during the COVID pandemic. What's going to happen? Will the nation plunge back into a viral malaise? Are we past the worst of it and getting back out at just the right time? Or is it something in between? How the fuck should I know? About a month ago, Gina and I drove out to the little town of Fredericksburg, Texas. San Antonio was still under lockdown, but we heard the wildflower farm out there was open, as well as restaurants and shops. There, wearing a mask was voluntary. Businesses had the right to ask people to wear them, as it should be. But only about half the people were wearing them. People were having picnics in the park. We walked around downtown and actually got to sit down and have a waitress serve us food. We had these giant bacon and blue cheese burgers on buns provided fresh from the nearby bakery. And French fries. Oh my God, we had fresh French fries that came to us right out of the fryer, instead of sitting in a styrofoam box getting cold and soggy for 20 minutes while we drive home. Little things mean a lot. It was the first time we felt close to normal since all this began. When San Antonio began relaxing its restrictions a few weeks after that, we went out to our favorite Tex-Mex restaurant. Gooey cheese enchiladas, smothered in chili con carne, perfectly seasoned refried beans, and made from scratch corn tortillas. Each bite was like heaven. My favorite karaoke place opened back up, serving my whiskey in a plastic cup and requiring a mask when singing, but at least I got to go out and sing. Sure, the bartender groused that he could make more money on unemployment than he could pouring drinks, but he still wanted to get out and work, despite the health risks. The employees at all these businesses wanted to work. People need to earn a living, whether you think they're essential or not. People are willing to risk an illness, even one that's 3 or maybe 4 times more deadly than the average flu strain. I listen to people talk about wanting, needing to get back to work and earn a living despite being labeled non-essential by the government and the court of public opinion. And I heard them speak about willingness to take risks to put food on the table. I wondered how much of a risk they were really taking. I ran across a very interesting graphic. I'll see if I can find it and post it with the podcast, but just in case I forget, I want you to picture it with me. It's a graphic of the United States, and all of the counties or parishes in each of those states have a color assigned if that county or parish has any reported COVID cases. There are many scattered counties in the western part of the nation that are white because no cases have been reported. New York, Chicago, and Detroit, and the cluster counties touching each of them, are in red. A ring of yellow surrounds each of those metropolitan areas in red. Now, if you look close enough, there are a few sporadic yellow counties, mostly in the New England area and California. The rest of the map is in green. Vast areas of green across the country on the graphic. The explanation of the colors is this. Each color, green, yellow, and red, represents an equal number of COVID cases. Basically, 2/3 of all COVID cases can be assigned to those 3 metropolitan areas that have all the red and the vast majority of the yellow. The remaining 1/3 of all COVID cases are scattered across all the rest of the country. So when you hear about all the cases, just remember where the concentrations really are. I mean, that should come as no surprise to anybody who's seen the death toll from New York City alone. Also, there are finally studies coming in showing the COVID death rate based on the estimated number of infected people. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to last month's podcast number 123 for a little more in-depth analysis. But I'll give you a quick summation now. The COVID death rate of 3.4% reported at the onset of the pandemic coming to the United States was based on confirmed cases. When the media compared that to the influenza death rate of 0.1%, they failed to properly convey the influenza number is not based on confirmed cases, but on estimated cases. Now that the estimated studies are starting to come in, the COVID death rate, using the same criteria as the influenza number, has dropped to 0.35%. You know what? Go ahead, go back, and listen to last month's podcast anyway, where I talk at length about the COVID death rate based on estimated cases. Go on, it'll be fun. Almost makes me feel clairvoyant. Folks, I'm more afraid driving on San Antonio highways in rush hour traffic than I am of the COVID virus. I know. Some of you hand-wringers out there will hear this and fly into a little tizzy about how it's people like me who are going to cause this pandemic to continue. If you're a person in a high-risk category, then I understand your concerns. But I'm also sure you're already taking extra precautions to avoid exposure. One of my clients at work suffers from respiratory issues from a severe illness that nearly killed her 20 years ago. She has been holed up in her house, working remotely as soon as she heard the first case hit the United States. I don't blame her for being cautious, and she's doing what she feels she needs to do. And still, the virtue signalers rule social media. I'm wearing my mask that is completely useless, but it proves to the world that I care more than you. That's my interpretation of those myriad photos. If you're not in a high-risk category, but you're still wringing your hands over the thought of people choosing to go out in public and open their businesses again, then you should not be going out at all. Seriously, if you're that scared, don't go out. Not to a restaurant, not to the grocery store, not even for a walk around your neighborhood. Why? Because there's still uncertainty as to how far this disease can travel in the air. Some researchers say it doesn't travel through the air at all, but others say that it could linger in the air for as much as 2 hours. You see those ineffective masks people are wearing? See how people with glasses will have their lenses fog up when they exhale? You know why that is? It's because their breath is getting out of the mask that way. It's fogging up the lenses because of the water droplets in their breath. Guess where the virus is? Yep, on those little water droplets now floating in the air for up to 2 hours. And that's just the ones you notice because they're wearing glasses. Not everyone wears glasses, but almost everyone is wearing an ineffective mask. Unless they're wearing medical-grade coverings, it's a false sense of security. It's a germaphobe's worst nightmare. Like that woman in the Swiffer commercial who gets so freaked out about dust that she closes her hoodie shut around her face. That kind of paranoia probably wouldn't leave the house or have any contact with other humans now. But really, that's how paranoid you'd have to be at this point. But if you don't flatten the curve, COVID might come back. Okay, COVID. COVID what? What's the full name again? COVID-19. Yeah, why is it 19? Because that's the strain that was found in 2019. See, the coronavirus disease is a common respiratory disease. Get it? COVID is short for coronavirus disease. Just like influenza, it comes around every year. In fact, there was a strain in 2013 that made some headlines with its fatality rate, which would scare you much more than this year's model. But it didn't spread as far as the current version, so most people forgot about it within a week. You would know that if you did what I suggested last podcast. So, unless you are in a high-risk category, prone to paranoia, or live in the obviously mismanaged metropolitan areas of New York, Chicago, or Detroit, you aren't nearly as bad off as the government and media are trying to make you feel. Is this strain of the coronavirus disease bad? Yeah, but not exponentially bad as the media tried to make it out to be. Should you be concerned? As concerned as you want to be. But if someone told you that there is a disease out there, that if you get it, there is a 99.65% chance of survival, what would you do? Compare that to how you go out every year with influenza strains that have a 99.9% survival rate. If you're talking about tenths of a percentage from one disease to another, do you really think it's that much more of a risk? I'm still waiting for someone to come up to me in public and ask me why I'm choosing not to wear a mask where it's not required. My answer will simply be, because I read. I do my own research instead of what is fed to me by your biased media of choice. I'm sure that response will go over well. Here's what I do know. This nation should seriously think about shutting down all 4th of July celebrations, because this country is over as a bastion of freedom. When sports come back, don't even bother with the national anthem. The Star-Spangled Banner flies over the land of the confined and the home of the afraid. So let's go over the Bill of Rights. Some of your fellow citizens today would vote for a candidate who would prevent you from exercising your religion. They would vote for a candidate who would restrict your freedom of speech and your right to peacefully assemble. All freedoms guaranteed in the First Amendment. Why do I think these things? 'Cause I've heard it and read it from friends and acquaintances. COVID-19 breaks out, and they want you fined or imprisoned if you try to get together with your friends in a park or with congregation members at your church building. Here in San Antonio, the mayor wants the authorities to investigate you for a hate crime if you call COVID-19 the China flu. Freedom of religion, freedom to peacefully assemble, freedom of speech, gone. This isn't a public health issue. This is a personal freedom issue. Somewhere in an alternate universe, let's call it Earth Blue, President Hillary Clinton is encouraging businesses to start up again in a desperate attempt to save her re-election bid. Democrat supporters and sycophant sheep are rallying behind her suddenly pro-business stance. Republican naysayers and their ilk are panic tweeting that she doesn't care about the public health. Meanwhile, libertarians are still encouraging each individual to learn as much as possible, to make his or her own choice on what they want to do. Because libertarian positions don't change just because somebody else is in power. We're all for freedom and for pleasure. Because, indeed, nothing ever lasts forever. I'll see you out there. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.